the subway rumbling underground, underground. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better.
You are listening to the 99th edition of Free City Radio. Thanks so much for being with us. It is Friday, the 4th of March, and I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. And on the broadcast today, we speak with filmmaker Frans Boom, one of the forces behind the documentary film Dear Future Children, which tracks the lives of three young activists, one in Kampala, Uganda, one in Hong Kong, and one in Santiago, Chile. The film documents the experiences of young women on the front lines in different movements struggling for social justice and collective rights. In Chile, we see a young activist deeply involved in the street-level movements for economic justice, demanding a new constitution. This is a demand of social movements for many years that recently pushed for a referendum that voted in favor of drafting a new constitution to replace the one that had existed since the dictatorship of Pinochet. We also go to Hong Kong, where we see a young activist on the front lines protesting against police crackdown on demonstrations and also the usurping of press freedom rights, which has taken place in Hong Kong over recent years. We hear about also frontline protest tactics and experiences with the riot police in Hong Kong, and a young activist involved in the Fridays for Future movement in Kampala, Uganda. I think this documentary is really important and interesting because it opens a window into three activists' lives, and it is not simply a film to show moments that are newsworthy, but also travels to the more intimate and personal questions that these activists on the front lines are having and experiencing in their lives. So the film Dear Future Children was screened in Montreal and has been screened globally. And I was involved in the screening in Montreal through Cinema Politica. And I thought it would be important to speak with the director. So here's our conversation.
Thanks so much for the invitation. My name is Frans Boom. I'm a film director. I'm currently based in London. I'm originally from Germany. And in the last 2 years, I made my debut feature film, which is called Dear Future Children, a documentary about three young activists in Hong Kong, Chile, and Uganda. And with this film, we wanted to explore the impacts of young activism on these young people's lives. We wanted to learn more about the key challenges, the key motivations. And just in general, we were quite interested in this phenomenon of young global modern activism and just wanted to explore that topic.
So this film is meaningful, I think, in that it shows the narratives of people's lives, but also paints a picture of the social political realities within which they live. So we can talk a bit about the different characters. We visit a character, an activist in the context of Chile, in the context of the movements in Hong Kong protesting authoritarian crackdowns, in the context of Hong Kong, and then we visit a young climate justice activist in Uganda. These might seem like disparate realities, but there's a connection in terms of the youth activism, but also the sense of urgency that you feel from the different protagonists in the film. So maybe we can first start in the context of Chile, because there has been, a lot of very important victories that social movements and youth movements have been part of in Chile. So can you just give us a bit of a picture of why you chose
Chile as one context for this film, and also sort of the ways that documentary films sort of capture a moment in time, but that, you know, things continue to move forward. And we've seen, you know, huge, very positive victories for social movements in Chile since this film has been shared.
Absolutely. So when our relatively young team was in research phase, we were in touch with 11 protest movements all across the globe. We wanted to find three movements which are youth-led or where young people play an important role. We wanted to have movements, protest movements, that have a clear democratic majority behind their core goal, behind their core interests. And we also were looking for movements which didn't really have that much representation in modern young cinema. So there were a few movements in the US that we were looking at, but they were already quite strongly represented in many films that were in development in that moment as well. And we chatted to quite a lot of people, again, 11 different movements. And in Chile and Uganda and in Hong Kong as well, we had the feeling that it is, for some reasons, quite difficult, for many reasons, quite difficult for local filmmakers to produce films completely on their own. So we decided to partner up with them in order to create this film, which is now, you know, located in sort of three different countries, or if you are adding Denmark to that list, even four different countries, four different continents. And Chile was particularly interesting because Chile is a very, I would say, protest experienced country. Especially youth-led protests played an hugely important role during the past years, during the past decades, when it comes to crafting modern policy. So it was hugely interesting that a new movement is being born there, which is battling social injustice in the very core, I would say, and at that point had a clear goal to fight against the country's constitution, which was still developed under Pinochet, which, you know, was a major league asshole and also a dictator. And it was interesting to see the efforts that the youth put into this. They, again, knew that they had a clear democratic majority behind their core goal. But for some reason, they were trying to go the normal political ways, you know, the good ways, the approved ways. But the political elite had tools in order to sort of keep them away from reaching their goals. So protesting on the streets, and that's very important to understand here, was not their very first option. It was more so their very last option. They tried all the other ways, but because they felt unheard and because they were so confident that they had a majority behind their back, they went on the streets to show their anger, to show their frustration. And it's interesting because in Hong Kong, we observed and experienced similar tactics used by the protesters. But in Chile, these protests, especially now speaking in 2022, were hugely successful. The constitution there's now a new constitution being written at the moment as we speak. There's a new president elected, and all these elections, all these milestones showed again and again that the movement had always had a clear majority behind them. And you can now even say for they were unheard for too long time, which is now developing into huge changes when it comes to domestic policies in Chile. So hugely interesting protest movement. And we are so grateful that we collaborated with a lot of people on the ground and ultimately found Rayen as our Chilean protagonist, who is a frontliner, who is very well connected, who knows a lot about these protests, who is affected herself, obviously, also still quite young. And it was amazing and so interesting to collaborate with her on the ground.
The story we visit in Chile in Dear Future Children, it really brings up you know, a very important point of difficulty and contradiction in relation to the negotiation between street level politics and official politics, right? You know, if we're talking about protest movements, you know, in the context of Chile, obviously youth culture has played a huge role artistically in terms of street art. We see that in the film. But this extends to the other contexts that you visit, particularly Hong Kong, where young activists were on the front lines in significant ways. But there is a tension between the official space of politics and street level protest movements, where there are contexts where there's a lot of repression and the demands and ideas and the context of political change that is being pushed on the streets or systemic critiques are not recognized by power, right? And I think that you interestingly mentioned democratic majority, because at times that's not clear, especially when media conglomerates are linked to the corporate sector, are linked to the government, right? And not to be conspiratorial about it, but just to sort of recognize that there is a shared social space between the upper echelons of media institutions and the upper echelons of political power, often in many different contexts around the world. So just to sort of think about the role of the street, but also the ways that that street level energy can translate to actual policy-based change, right? Which I think is really a challenge for both millennial and Generation Z to think about, right? If we think about going back to the early 2000s and the anti-globalization movement, which, you know, Cinema Politica, myself, and many activists sort of became involved in that context, there was a very clear cut between official politics and street politics. Now there's an interesting negotiation and recognition that there is some sort of exchange where street level politics become involved with actually shaping the politics of society on an official level, which is very intense. I'm wondering if you have any reflections on that, because I think your film sort of visits the pain and the challenges around that point.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a very interesting point that you are mentioning. And I think although one clearly has to say that young activism was always existent in the history of humankind, but the current generations are exploring or re-exploring, redefining how young street-based protests can look like. And they are using all the tools that are accessible to them, obviously social media, obviously, but also filmmaking is playing a hugely important role. And because filmmaking got so much, the basics of filmmaking got so much cheaper during the past few years and decades, all of a sudden it's very simple and very straightforward to create impactful videos that can explain the demands. And all of a sudden, we are seeing this right now in Ukraine, for example, locals can record videos on their phone, and it is being shared worldwide within a few seconds or minutes. And that generates a whole new world of possibilities that is now being explored by the current young generation, who are very interested in using these tools for their individual, often domestically focused movements. And also, I think we have to speak about motivation as well, because the successful protests in Chile, for example, it is now way easier to transport and correspond with other countries. It is easier to share tactics, to share knowledge, intelligence, experience with other young protesters across the globe. We all recognized that other movements in South America, for example, were being inspired by the success in Chile. And vice versa, I think Taiwan, for example, is in close correspondence with many Hong Kong activists as well. And they have this kind of exchange of knowledge and experiences. So that's very interesting as well. It is way easier. And you know, you can even take Dear Future Children. Dear Future Children was only possible because we as a young film team without many resources were able to directly contact people on the ground and speak to them directly. And we could be sure, could be quite sure that we are speaking to actual people there because we are seeing them, because we are on the phone with them. A few years ago, a few decades ago, this just wouldn't have been possible. And this is the reason why we as a young team were able to make this film with a very, very limited budget and relatively quick as well. So all of a sudden films, small films or even feature films are responding to these developing events worldwide way quicker than it was possible before. And that again is creating and opening a whole new world of possibilities that yet has to be explored, in my opinion.
So that negotiation between street level and the official level, which I think your film does address, because in the Hong Kong context, we don't see a resolution. In the Chilean context, we see a continued debate. We see victories with the new constitution being drafted, with the election of a left social democrat as president, which is a hugely significant for Chile, given the history you talked about with Pinochet. In the context of Uganda too, we don't see a resolution in terms of the role of, you know, international mining companies or forestry companies that are active on the ground. And there's quite a lot of high level corruption within the Ugandan government and with these companies. How did it feel to sort of focus on these voices that obviously are inspired by a lot of hope and attempts to address these issues, but with the knowledge that there's no Hollywood ending, there's no clear-cut resolution. This is a process.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think you're really speaking to the core motivation we had to make this film in the first place. Because when we were researching about young activism, we noticed that quite often other people spoke about young activism. And sometimes also because they had such limited time, they only had like 2 minutes in their TV clip to speak about, you know, the current state of young activism in Hong Kong. And sometimes they made it too easy. They made it sound so simple. Oh, so this is what they're protesting against. This is why, and this is how this will end. But it's just not that simple. Young activism is way more complex than that. And when we started the project, we promised ourselves that we will actually listen to people on the ground, and we won't try to solve these complex issues for them. It is a capture of the momentum. It is what Hilda, for example, was thinking in 2020. It is how the situation was in Chile in 2020 and what motivated people in that specific time frame. And it is always, again, it is, young activism is complex. There are no easy or simple ways out of that. And we just wanted to stay true to the activists themselves. By the way, many local activists, local journalists, local NGOs were involved in the creation of this film during research, during the development, during the process of finding the right protagonist, but most importantly, also during the editing phase, during the editing stage, when we always spoke about how do we explain these protests in the most accessible, most suitable way, knowing that we don't have 3 hours to do this? And how do we end the film? What kind of information do you want to be displayed here? Do you want us to mention short time successes? Or should we focus a little bit more about on the personal circumstances of our protagonists? What's the best way to end this film? So our decision, you know, to end on a more personal note, on a more personal level, that wasn't my decision alone, but that was a decision that was made by our whole team, including numerous people on the ground in these three regions, in these three countries. Yeah.
So thinking about the context of Uganda, you know, this is, I'd say, from the three geographical locations highlighted in Dear Future Children, this is perhaps the location that has the least common resonance within left networks globally. There has been a lot of international action and solidarity within the Americas for the movement in Chile, for example. And within the Asian context, there was a lot of collaboration, as you said, between activists, even in mainland China and Hong Kong, within Taiwan, Japanese activists, but also globally, there was a lot of solidarity protests around the world with the movement in Hong Kong, which is multi-layered and complex. However, Uganda, I would like to just sort of hear a bit about how it was to, highlight the story of a young activist. Some of the most interesting parts of the film, I think, were when the protagonist from Uganda arrives at the climate summit in Copenhagen, I believe, mm-hmm. and she runs into the reality where you see the discourse of climate justice being shared, and we hear the young activist sort of wondering, how is this discourse actually going to affect things on the ground in Uganda?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think Uganda, the Fridays for Future movement in Uganda, which was partially also founded by Hilda, our protagonist, is hugely fascinating because Hilda is facing unique challenges. Pepper in Hong Kong, Ryanis in Chile, is surrounded by like-minded people, is surrounded by a big alliance of friends and other frontliners. They are able to give emotional support to each other. And I'm not saying to discredit them at all. It doesn't make these movements any less important or less difficult or complex. But Hilda is interesting because Fridays for Future is a, Europe-born but worldwide movement. But at that time, it didn't really arrive yet in East Africa, in Uganda. So Hilda founded the movement, was inspired by other young activists across the globe, using all modern tools of technologies, and founded the movement herself. And on the first protests, as we can see in the film, she was the only one protesting. She was just standing down the street with her sign demanding higher and better climate action. And the development and the motivation of her to do that, I think, is so hugely interesting. Also because there were no people who told her, you need to do that, you need to do that. There were no instructions. There is no handbook for that. And adding to that, Uganda is also not really known for being an amazing place where you can speak out as a young woman. And Hilda certainly faced some unique challenges on that topic as well. So that's, I think, the reason, or many of the reasons, why Hilda's work, Hilda's efforts are so hugely interesting. And it's also interesting to see in Copenhagen, yes, many people there understand her struggle, but still the C40 conference in Copenhagen isn't really solving the problem, is it? So that's interesting because on the one hand, it's a huge personal success for her, but Hilda is not interested in personal success. Hilda is interested in climate action for her home country, Uganda. And she thought that traveling to Copenhagen will make this more accessible, but it didn't. So that's interesting as well. That's one of the many very new, very modern challenges that young activism is presenting now. This kind of, these politicians who are trying to use activists in order to make them seem more green or more environmental focused. But Hilda, as brilliant as she is, obviously always focuses on the real consequences and asks the very important questions.
Yeah, we live in this very unique moment where, in the context of quote unquote woke discourse, we see a lot of the liberal political class adopting the language of activism, but not actually enacting policies that reflect where that language comes from, the social movements that have brought forward these demands for systemic change, movements against systemic racism, for LGBTQ rights, for climate justice, a holistic approach to the climate. Your film tackles a lot of different geographical locations and the intersection of a lot of these issues. So I really appreciated it. And Appreciate talking with you today. Thank you.
Thank you so much also for your interest in the film. We are always keen to, you know, explore all opportunities to show the film. Thanks so much for the invitation. It was a great pleasure speaking with you. And yeah, thanks so much.
Right on.
That was an interview with Frans Boom, one of the filmmakers behind the documentary film Dear Future Children, that follows the lives of three young activists in Chile, Hong Kong, and Uganda. I'd encourage you to look up the film Dear Future Children. I was involved in the screening of that film in Montreal through Cinema Politica. Thanks to Frans for being on the program today. We broadcast twice a week, once on CKUT 90.3 FM at 11 a.m. and also on Tuesdays starting in April on CJLO 1690 a.m. We also are available globally through this podcast network. You can find us on iTunes and Spotify, also on soundcloud.com/freecityradio. I'm Stefan Christoph in Montreal. Thanks for being with us. We'll go out on the program today with a piece from an awesome artist based in Nairobi, Kenya, KMRU. I would really encourage you to check out his work. It's beautiful. Here it is, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Files.
Radio.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.